pretty much of the service here today.
See, so God has one fixed plan for every particular person who desires to be saved.
Amen.
And that is exclusively Jesus. There is no other way you can be saved. We want to go on record with that because that is the message of the early church. Now, why should we believe that? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of reasons today why you should believe that. You should believe it because, as we always say around St. Timothy, y'all know we like to talk about this, that God has centered the entire planet on Jesus. Okay, you can't skip that. I don't care if you're in Jerusalem, Tripoli, wherever you happen to be, you can be in any city on this planet. And the date has been fixed with Christ in the center.
Amen.
It's 2022 everywhere on the New York Stock Exchange, anywhere you want to look. And that's because Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
No one else could have done that but God.
Amen.
So God has fixed it where you have physical evidence in your life that Jesus exclusively is Lord. That calendar is not talking about anyone but Jesus. And so we give you that just as something to hang your thoughts on. If you happen to be saying somebody else is the Lord, well, whatever it was didn't have the authority or the power to get right in the middle of your life.
That's right.
Like Jesus did. So the Bible has accurately predicted the course of this world, this is something I want you to know, without error for many centuries, even tells with precision just how the character of this world will be as we approach the return of Christ, which he has promised. Jesus left after he had defeated death, hell, and the grave, which we talked about this quite a bit last week. We were talking about that 1 week between what we call Palm Sunday and the resurrection or the Passover, where we talk about how Christ is the Passover.
Yes.
He is the one who sat at that Palm Sunday on that first Seder, that last Seder, let's call it, the last celebration of Passover. He transferred all the meaning of what that Passover means to himself.
Amen.
He said, as they sat at the table and he broke the bread, he said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you."
Yes.
My body.
Yes.
He said, "Which is broken for you. And this is the blood after he had supped with the cup and given thanks, he passed the cup and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood.
Wow.
And as often as you do these things, this do in remembrance of me." So he transferred all meaning of the Passover to himself.
Yes.
You know, and so there he was. And I always call that the last Passover, but we can also say, as we preached last week, Jesus is the actual Passover. He is the Lamb of God. Who takes away the sin of the world. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ Jesus, who is our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. So this was the teaching of the early church. And not only is he the actual Passover, but it's exclusively by Jesus Christ that anyone can be saved. So we have to be explicit about that. We live in a time when what is known as the ecumenical things are taking place. That means we're going to all set aside our differences, because over there in Jerusalem we had Muslims, Jews, and Christians fighting, supposedly. It's like, okay, what are you fighting about? God didn't call you to fight. He called the church to preach.
Yes.
He already owns Jerusalem.
Yes.
In that week that we talk about, from Palm Sunday to the Resurrection Sunday, was the most important week. Let's call it the most important because, and I'm going to back you up a little bit all the way to Genesis. We talk about in the first chapter of Genesis, most of us know this, that God created the heavens and the earth in 1 week. And when he got done, he rested on the seventh day. That was the first 7 days. On Passover, he fixed everything that got damaged after sin came into the world. From that Palm Sunday, clear through to the Resurrection Sunday, he defeated not only the devil, but he defeated death.
Yes.
He defeated the grave.
Yes.
And he got up and restored life as it had been in that first week.
Yes.
That first 7 days. So that was the second most important 7 days. And I would say probably the most, because Jesus abolished death and the grave. And he's the only one who has done that.
Yes.
There isn't anyone else who has done that. I wish I could say my doctor can stop death. That would be nice. It would be good to say anybody's doctor can stop death. But we know that's not so. There's only one doctor that can stop death. And he already did it. You know how he did it? He destroyed death. because death couldn't take a legal hold on him because he had no sin. And he is the only human being that has ever lived that had no sin. Throughout his entire life. You could say for Jesus it was from everlasting to everlasting that he has no sin. But let's just talk about the time of his incarnation, because it had been prophesied in the scripture through the prophets all the way from Genesis to Malachi that God would send his son. He would be the son of David. He would be the King of Kings.
Yes.
He would be the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
And God had prophesied that all through the scriptures. We know in Psalms 2, he said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers set themselves and they take counsel together, the kings of the earth, yes, over the Lord and against the Lord and his anointed. So what we see there, when we see what happens over in Jerusalem on the so-called holy day, I'm saying, holy, why are you fighting? What you fighting for? Why do you have to fight? The truth is, God has already won. He's given his son. Jesus has come into the world. He has abolished death, the Bible says.
Yes.
He's the only one that was able to take death upon himself and defeat it in 3 days and nights, as it had been written. And so we have all this biblical evidence that tells you that Jesus is the Christ.
Yes.
Other people have tried to plagiarize and contaminate that, who came along much later, because in the days of Jesus, many of these things these folks were fighting, their organization did not exist. Until 500 or 600 years after he had abolished death and the grave already. And then you come along now, so now you want to fight. Well, you need to repent and you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ, because God has configured the world around the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel is exclusively Jesus. No one else can save you. So that's what we're talking about. So the early church was dispatched to go out and preach the gospel. And basically, we are seeing a movement among people in our day in which the gospel, which was stated by Jude, must be earnestly contended for. We're going to take a look at that in our scripture for today. Is being contested today. But the truth is, he said that the message of God is exclusively Jesus. So we don't have the, I don't have the desire, first of all, I have no desire to co-mingle with people who are merrily waltzing on their way to hell thinking something else can save them.
Amen.
I have no desire to do that.
No.
Plus, I have no command to do that.
Amen.
God said, go and teach the gospel,
yes,
which is the good news about his son to every creature. So we got people today saying, oh, let's just all get together, no matter what we believe, and kumbaya. Let us just get together and see if we can do good for the community. You know, if the community goes to hell, what good will it do if I treat you all kinds of ways, help you with whatever you need, and then you go to hell? What good is that?
All right.
What would it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's what the Lord said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. So don't just throw him into a group of a pantheon of so-called gods and think that that will be sufficient. He said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scattereth abroad. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. So he drew a line, and you're on one side of that line or the other. Either you're exclusively with Jesus, or you're on the other side. So you choose what your destiny will be based on what you do with Jesus. You can't just say, oh, Jesus was a nice guy, we want to co-mingle with you, but we don't trust you or believe you. We believe this philosophy. Well, that philosophy will take you to hell. And I need to be point blank, black and white about that. Because Jesus was. He made no latitude for there to be any other way. Either that or you can cancel Jesus. Because he can't be right if there's another way for you to be saved. And what he said would be a lie if that were the case. But the truth is, God has established that Jesus the Christ is his only begotten Son, whom he raised from the dead, which is proof that he alone has a solution to everybody's problem. I don't care what your religious philosophy is. You know what? It won't get you out of the grave. It will not help you when you are on your deathbed. But 4 minutes after you die, you're going to know what Pastor Professor is preaching this morning is the absolute truth. Yeah. 4 minutes after you take your last breath, you will know. There will be no more questions at that point. And the scripture says every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's one way to glorify the Father, and that is to trust in His Son and believe that God has raised Him from the dead. His resurrection from the dead is the badge of His honor and the fact that He is exclusively the only mediator between God and men. Now, Zechariah was talking about something along these lines. We're going to take a look at that. But before we do, let me just say that since God has divided the entire world time system by the first coming of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, He Himself has placed an obvious fact in the face of all people so that they are all without excuse concerning Jesus Christ as the only mediator between God and mankind. And also, He has made Israel, His chosen people, the focal point of all the kingdoms of the world, and even has predicted that the general unbelief of His people is all documented in the scripture. God is not shocked or surprised that many in Israel don't believe in Christ. He wrote it down. It's been written down for centuries. If they would simply repent and read His word and understand the truth, they would know. God has already said that His own people and covenant people would reject Him. He would be despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's what Isaiah said. Generations before His first coming. Jesus Himself said, Jerusalem shall be trodden under the feet of Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So He already said that. You know what He told them? There won't be left here one stone upon another. They won't be thrown down. And in 70 AD, that was about 30-some years after Jesus was crucified, buried, risen, and ascended into heaven, the temple was destroyed by the Romans. And there has been no temple there at all, not even today. So His prophecy is 100% perfect. He said, Jerusalem, the city of God's love and choice, shall be trodden under the feet of Gentiles. And that's the way it is now, has been ever since 70 AD. From then till today, the temple was destroyed, dismantled stone by stone, just like Jesus said. That there will not be left here one stone upon another. There will not be thrown down. That's a perfectly accurate prophecy. Happened in 70 AD. Right now on that same spot, there is the Mosque of Omar, which didn't come until hundreds of years after 70 AD. So, you know what? If you knew that He accurately predicted that the way it is, over there now is the way it would be. That's what He said. And He's the only one God about to bring to show you I have the solution to the problem of death.
The only one.
Who else got out of the grave?
Nobody
that was seen alive for 40 days after the resurrection. That's how Jesus was. He showed Himself alive to His disciples. And He told them to go and wait until you be endued with power from on high.
Yes, yes.
And of course, the scripture says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together, that 120, in one place on one accord. And there came, as it were, a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues of fire set up on each one of them. That was God manifesting the fact that the gospel has been ratified. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why was that? Because there were devout men out of every nation under heaven who had assembled in the upper room.
Yes.
And they had to hear the gospel, the glorious, wonderful works of God in the own language to which they were born. Because God had confounded the languages of these people all the way back in Genesis 11.
Yes.
And so He undid the curse that He put in place so that you can now hear the solution to the problem, and the curse is fixed, and death has been repaired. And there's one way, exclusively Jesus, that all people can be saved. Looking back, we can look at Psalm 2. I'm not going to take it there today. Most of you are very familiar with it. But Zechariah puts it this way in Zechariah chapter 12. He says in the latter days, he has a prophecy about what will happen there. So you and I shouldn't be surprised if you look and see what's happening there. That's my point. True Christians who believe the word and understand that it is exclusively Jesus, the only Savior, told us exactly what will be going on there.
Yes.
And we see it. All we need to have the TV on, we know exactly what Jesus said is 100% true. Zechariah says in chapter 12 and verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David. Now David has been long gone when Zechariah writes this text. Upon the inhabitants. Notice it says the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And the spirit of grace and supplication. These are not believers. These are the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Yes.
There are some people who are of the seed of Abraham. There are some people there who are all kinds of Gentiles, because Jesus already said they'd be there. But he's going to pour out a spirit of grace and supplication upon the inhabitants, it says here, of Jerusalem. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Wow.
Yes.
What a power king.
Yes.
God said the inhabitants of Jerusalem will be enlightened at some point, and God will give them a revelation that Jesus is the only Son of God.
Yes.
Notice how it says, I want you to look at the pronouns very carefully in the text. It says, and they shall look upon me, first of all, whom they have pierced. Notice that it says me.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall mourn for him. Ah. They shall look upon me, God said,
yes,
whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now this is a prophecy about Messiah who came already. And he said in the latter days, God is going to open up a spirit of supplication for them and grace so that they can see that Jesus is the Christ.
Yes.
Right now there's blindness going through the land across the world. And people think they can be saved in some other kind of way. Some people don't think you can be saved at all. Some people think there is no salvation. I heard people so many times, I asked them, what do you think will happen when you die? They said, when you're dead, you're dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many people have a desolate outlook on life. And they don't know that Jesus defeated death. He defeated the grave. And he declares it to all people, and that's why it is the gospel, because God has defeated the problem of death.
Amen.
And the grave.
Amen.
For whosoever believes in him, he said, that's why I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's an open door for everybody, today if you will hear his voice, whosoever believes in him should not perish. What is perishing? Dying.
Right.
Should not stay dead, but shall have everlasting life.
Yes.
For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. You know why? The world was already condemned.
Amen.
But that the world through him might be saved. God wants you to know that there is something after the grave. My son has already proven. He didn't do it in the great by and by in the mystical over yonder. He did it right here in the here and now. He came in right on schedule in that 1 week between. He was here, of course, for 33 and a half years. So I don't minimize his entire earthly experience as a human being, because he was God's, and that's why it says only begotten son. He's the only son that was actually born of a woman. Not of a man, but only of a woman.
Yes.
He took on flesh through a woman, because that's what God promised all the way in Genesis 3:15. When the problem of sin came, he said to the serpent, upon your belly shalt you go, and thus shalt you eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. The pronouns are so important in the scripture. Her seed? We got to say, what? Her seed?
Yeah.
When did her ever have a seed? Her don't have any seed. Her is seedless. Even today. The seed is from the man.
Amen.
But God said, her seed.
Yep.
And then he said, and it, that's her seed, shall bruise you, serpent, on the head, and thou shalt bruise
his heel.
The gender of the child was established right there in Genesis 3:15. Look at the pronouns. Every word in the scripture is important. Every one. So God already determined he would send his son. Paul put it this way when he preached to the Galatians. He said, when the fullness of time was come, that gets us to that 1 week. God sent forth his son, that goes all the way to his birth. That the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, and born under the law, to deliver us from the curse of the law. So God did that. He sent his son, made of a woman. Let's look one more spot here. I want you to see that Zechariah reveals that the house of David, which was the kingly line through which Jesus the Messiah was born, and he talks about the inhabitants of Jerusalem will have an outpouring of the spirit of grace and supplication, causing them to finally see that Jesus, whom they had rejected 2,000 years ago, is the Christ, causing a deep repentance as for one that mourns for his firstborn son. This will happen in the latter days. Until then, there we will see confusion. Until then, the duty and the, let's call it the responsibility of the church never changes. So we don't take affinity with people who deny Jesus. That would be contrary to our commission. Because he said, go and preach this gospel to who? To every creature, right? He just ain't going to make an alliance with people who disagree with the gospel. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. So until he changes it, I'm going to preach the gospel. To every creature. If they don't believe it, then it's exclusively Jesus. That's your problem. That's not mine. Because I told you the gospel.
Amen.
God has one way to save you. He's anxious to do that. That's why he sent Jesus when he did. That's why he put him in the middle of time. So you cannot overlook it. You can say you do, but you really are making a terrible mistake. You got to go around the obvious fact that God has put him central in your life in order to ignore him. And so I want to make that plain. Jude told us to fight for the reality of it. Doesn't mean punch anybody, knock them out. You know what he means? Continue to preach. I sent you to preach, not to fight. He told Peter, put your sword away. Preach. Use this sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Preach the word, the instant, in season and out of season. Jude says this in Jude, I'm cutting to verse 17. I recommend you read the entire chapter. It's only one chapter to the whole book. But we're cutting in at 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference. So we are compassionate. We're not slandering anyone, but we want to give you a wake-up call. That God does have a way to save you, but it won't be your way. It will be his way, which is exclusively Jesus. And others, he says, save with fear. Some translations say snatching them out of the fire. KJV says pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And he says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory. What exceeding joy. There's only one that is able to keep you from falling. Only one who is able to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy.
Yes.
That's the only one. Jesus exclusive.
Jesus.
It says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. So this won't be changing. It's now and it's forever. So you and I have to proclaim that. So in the meantime, we as a true church must contend against all ecumenical religious systems who under the guise of unity, which is what they're saying, let's just all get together and just disregard all of our differences. No. No. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One gospel, one way to be saved, and it is exclusively Jesus. So I recommend to your whole ecumenical society that you repent. Because if you say you know Jesus, you should believe his word.
Yes.
If you don't preach his word, you don't know him. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm not making it up. He wrote the script, not me. But he told me to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So in the meantime, we as the true church must contend against all ecumenical religious systems who, under the guise of unity, are all degenerating to doctrines of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're denigrating the gospel of Jesus Christ and his church so that God may grant them repentance to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ as we continue to preach exclusively Jesus.
Yes.
So I wanted you to have that for the message today. If you happen to be here today and you are not saved, you need to understand God loves you.
Yes.
He has made a way.
Yes.
We all need him because the scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me give you a news flash. Just because you got saved, you didn't stop sinning.
All right.
You may have stopped some sinning. I hope you did. I hope you're stopping more and more sinning day by day as you learn to walk by faith and not by sight. But the scripture says none of us have become perfect. So we all need the blood of Jesus. We need his perfect covering, as we talked about last week. There's, you know what, I think it would be very arrogant for you to say you know everything that's in you. Because I'm sure you know. I don't.
Alright.
I always like to ask people, do you know everything the Bible says?
No.
How long have you been studying? 25, 50 years. Do you know everything the Bible says? No. If you tell them the truth, you gotta say no.
That's right.
You know why? Because the Bible is alive.
Yes.
It's quick and powerful. It doesn't change, but we do.
Yeah.
And there's stuff we don't even know that's sin. And you know, people like to get down on the overt, obvious sin. The outside, external sin. But you don't hear folks talking about pride, prejudice, arrogance, all kinds of other internal sin that nobody may see on the outside. We like to slam people for the outside sin. But what about the inside sin? What about hatred? What about greed? What about selfishness? What about pride? What about arrogance? There's so many things that the scripture says is sin. You don't hear people preaching about that much, do you?
No.
Well, we're preaching all about all the external stuff that we can see. That's hypocrisy. There's a word for that. Can't see that either, can you? That's when you smile, oh yes, and inside you're thinking, you'll never be that. You got some other thought in here than the one you said out your mouth. That's what a hypocrite is. You put on a show.
Yeah.
I want you to see me this way. But on the inside, I'm chugging. About to strike at any minute. So this is what I'm talking about. And I'm not saying any of it is okay. I'm just saying the only way you can get clean is by washing with water. You need to be a disciple. And it's going to be a process that will continue until the trumpet sounds. So if you have not accepted Christ to be your personal Savior, you need to understand he is the only way. That's why we preach exclusively Jesus. So you can come at this time if you happen to be online. We'd like to invite you out to our Wednesday Bible studies. And we're going into much more detail about all these things.
Amen.
And we're keeping it real. We won't teach you anything that's not consistent with what's in the book.
All right.
And we will make sure you get an understanding. If you have a question about anything, it will be explained to you. Amen. But you may come at this time. We hope that you would like to become a part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
The body of Christ consists of those who believe in him and are publicly willing to confess him as Lord and Savior. So I have no problem saying I believe exclusively in Jesus.
Yeah.
If Jesus can't save me, I'm going to put it in the negative. I'm going to him. Because I am only trusting in him. But I know that he's the only one who can save me. So therefore, I'm not worried about going to him.
Because
I'm leaning entirely on him. Like the songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All on the ground is sinking sin. So if you can't sing that from your heart, you need exclusively Jesus. Him alone. I'm not depending on anything else. Like the other songwriter, nothing in my hand I bring, but But only to your cross I cling. That's it. So you have to understand that the people who wrote those understood it exclusively.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
So that's where you need to be, and I pray that that's where you are. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you now, Father. We believe the exclusive gospel.
Yes, we do.
That you have given one way in which all men, women, boys, and girls who trust in you can be saved. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you centered the entire world around him. Father, we pray for conviction for somebody who's not on the fence. We pray that they understand there is no fence.
Yes.
And there will be no defense for you if you do not trust totally in God's Son and believe that God has raised him from the dead.
Bravo.
There is no place to run nor to hide. Jesus said he is coming with all power and great glory. And so, Father, help them to understand, help them to believe right now.
Yes.
Give them that peace that passes all understanding. And Father, if they have rejected your Son, be on their hearts, Lord
have
God. Give them
Lord.
Restlessness until they find
have
their
mercy,
soul trusting in him.
Yes.
And we ask this all, Father, to the praise and the glory of your only Son, Jesus our
in
Savior.
Jesus.
And it's in his name that we pray, the whole church say together.
Amen. Amen.